Sunday evening of the month, and we're here for our workshops related to our theme, taken from the book of James, related to our lesson this morning. We're glad to have everyone here this evening. If you were here this morning, our lesson was on patience from James chapter 5. As we continue our theme through the year on building a 24/7 faith, using James as our guidepost to look at elements of the Christian life that help us to build that faith. And so we were in James chapter 5 this morning, verses 7 through 12, looking at this matter of patience. In fact, I said it's not really patience, but what? Do you remember? Yeah, patient endurance. But that's really the idea that we're looking at here. That it's not so much, you know, learning to have patience while you're standing in line at the grocery store, but that it's about enduring during trial and tribulation and tests. That this is probably more of what he's getting at. But that certainly is going to help us while we stand in the line at the grocery store, I think, if we develop this fundamental part of our faith. So that's where we want to begin tonight. We're handing out lesson sheets for the workshop. Did anyone not get one? Anyone need a worksheet? All right, let's see. Matt, would you mind leading us in a prayer to begin? Let's bow together. Well, what we look at is certainly a trait I think we all realize we need, and that is a part of the Christian life. But we have people tell us, the preacher stand up and he says, you just need to be patient, okay? Be patient. We all need to be patient, so go be patient. So everybody goes out and everybody's patient, right? That's all there is to it. Just got to be told to be patient, and then we will be patient. Well, we understand that we can look at certain commands of Scripture and see what a challenge they are to us personally. And that's really what we face here in dealing with patience, in the sense of learning to have patience or patient endurance in our life, a faithful service to God. That a fundamental part of being a Christian is learning to be steadfast, to be able to endure, to be patient to the end in service to Him, in service to one another, and in going through the trials that we face. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the Apostle Paul talked about that there is no trial or temptation that you experience, but such is common to man. That is, whatever we face, others have faced it. And together, if we can learn to deal with these trials, to deal with whatever we face in life, we can learn to endure, to face this. And so this morning we talked about from James. Well, let's read the verses in James 5 before we begin our discussion tonight. James 5, beginning in verse 7. James 5, beginning in verse 7. Mike, you want to read those for us? Oh, you're not there yet, are you? Okay, let me read. James 5, beginning in verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Behold, the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient over it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Murmur not, brethren, one against another, that you be not judged. Behold, the judge stands before the doors. Take, brethren, for an example of suffering and of patience, the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we call them blessed that endured, yet ye have heard of the patience of Job, and you have seen the end of the Lord, how that the Lord is full of pity and merciful. But above all things, my brethren, do not swear, neither by the heaven, nor by the earth, nor by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, and your nay, nay, that you fall not under judgment. So we talked this morning about his urging us to be patient in whatever situation or face that we face, and that he relates to that not only being patient, but it means that we learn not to complain or to murmur, that we not make rash oaths, and promises during those trying times that we probably shouldn't be making. Find ourselves under great stress and start trying to bargain with God, those kinds of things. But we learn this patient endurance that will carry us to the end. Learning from the farmer, learning from the prophets, learning from Job. All who are willing to wait, patiently wait and endure in order to receive the reward that awaits at the end. So, having told you all to be patient, we can wrap this class up and go home, okay? What I wanted us to talk about tonight is some basic principles of that patient endurance. Things we have to have in our life in order to be able to patiently endure. And there's two things that I really want to talk about. And these are elements of a totally committed life to the Lord. That being committed to the Lord means we learn these basic fundamental things about our life. The first of those is trust. Trusting God. What do we mean when we say trust? We say we trust someone. What does that say about that relationship? What does that mean? What's the idea there? Wayne, what's the idea of trusting someone? Okay, I think that's a real elementary part of it. He's saying that you believe they're going to take care of your needs. So what is there about this person that causes you to trust them? You can depend on them. The word reliance comes to mind. They are reliable, dependable. You know that you can trust them. And there is that relationship. If we're going to be patient to get through this life, to make it to heaven, it begins with believing, truly believing, that we can trust God to do what He said He would do, to fulfill His promises, to carry through on all that He said He would do. How do we know God will do that? All right, He said it. Is that all that we have to go on? It's just that God said He would. Okay, doesn't God have a track record in this, folks? Doesn't He have a track record? Isn't that really what the Old Testament is? Isn't that giving us God's track record in dealing with man and the fulfilling of His promises and what He will carry through in doing? That we can go back and we can see God as a God who makes promises and He fulfills those promises. That He does exactly what He says He's going to do. And that if He says He will do that, then we can trust Him to fulfill promises that are yet to come in our life. Trust. At the heart of being able to be patient is being able to truly trust God. Mark? Okay. Mark gives us the example of Abraham as one who trusted God, but even himself faltered in believing God was going to fulfill the promise He had made to him, particularly of making his seed a great nation. God had made that promise to him. He had made it to him more than once. Abraham believed God, but still, what did he do along the way? When Sarah didn't get pregnant, what did he do? Okay, he took Sarah had him take Hagar, her handmaid, and have a child by him. And God said, no, it's not it. Not going to be Ishmael. He comes along and he even questions God. Said, is it going to be the head of my house here? my head servant here is in Genesis 15. Is this who is going to be the one through who this comes? God says, no, that's not it. He said he trusted God, but he, in his own impatience, he kept trying to help God fulfill his promise. Until finally, God did it in a most amazing and miraculous way. Well, a faith as it matures truly comes to trust God and to believe that God will fulfill all that he has promised. And in developing that trust, then he learns to be patient and to wait. This is really where it begins. And as I say, we look at that from the standpoint of our track record, and we think about how God has provided needs for us, how God has provided salvation, all these things. Think about promises that he has made. Matthew 6:33, who's got that? I had it. All right, Brett, what? Okay, it's in the Sermon on the Mount. Brad, what was he talking about leading up to that in the Sermon on the Mount? Yeah, that's exactly right. That we not worry about the world, the material things of daily necessities. God says, you seek him first, and God will see that you have your basic needs. And that he's saying, you need to trust God. You need to believe God and that he will care and provide for you. There's an element of trust in what he's saying in that passage. Philippians 4:13, who has that passage? Charlie? All right, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. An often misunderstood passage, a passage that is often looked at. People say, that means anything I want to do, God will strengthen me to do it. In context, what he is saying is whatever state I am in, whatever I'm dealing with, whatever I'm going through, God will carry me through it. I've learned whatever state I'm in to be content, he says, to have and to be in want, all those different things. He says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But what Paul is saying, I have learned to trust God. That whatever my state or situation in life, I trust him. And I get through these things because I trust my God excuse me, to help me get through these things. I've put my trust in him. Hebrews 11 is this chapter of all these people of faith who endured so much, who continued all through their life to be faithful, many of them losing their life because of their faithfulness. And then after talking about all, listing all those people, look at Hebrews 12 and what he says there. Well, the first three verses, let's look at Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. Who has that? Who did I give that to? All right, Damon. Okay, let's stop there. Run with patience. The race is set before you. Why? What's the reason he gives there before that, Damon? Well, before he says, let us run with patience. The race is set before us. What's the... in laying that aside because of the great cloud of witnesses. Here's the track record that he's laying out there for us. Look at God's track record. Look what he has done. Look how he carried all these through faithful to the end. And what we learn from that is we run with patience because we see what running the race with patience did for them. The examples that go before us help us to have trust in God. And so we began to see in looking at that track record of all that God has done, and even of what he's doing in our life, that there is a reason to put our reliance upon him and to believe that he will carry me through whatever I face. And that's trust. That's what trust is all about. And so we learn in that to place a reliance upon Him and to believe that He and His Word will help me make the good choices that will carry me through that. The Scriptures talk about, of course, the Word itself being that which guides us. The Word is a lamp to my feet, a light unto my path, Psalm 119. I think I gave Jeremiah 10:23 to somebody, didn't I? Who's got that? Am I?
Oh Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps.
How many of us, when we really run into a problem, thinks it's all on me to solve it? I mean, do we do this? We run into a family problem. We run into a situation and we think it's all up to me. I've got to solve this on my own. And we take that stress and pressure upon ourselves. And it's only as a last resort when things just are not working out, things are not happening the way they should, then we finally say, you know, God, this isn't working. This is what happens to us a lot, doesn't it? It becomes a problem for us. When really what we should have done at the very beginning was to take it to God to begin with and ask God to help me in dealing with this and get through it. That's what trust and reliability is really all about. That there is a reliance upon Him in believing that He is active, that He can answer our prayers, that He will work in my life. I have seen through Scripture what He has done in the past, and He will do that in the future. And that patience begins, being able to run that race with patience begins by learning to trust God, to have trust in Him, that He can carry this out for me. Well, trusting Him for a lot of people is, okay, I'll trust God to carry this out for me. I'll give Him to 5 o'clock tomorrow to solve this problem, okay? Lord, here it is. You got a day to get this worked out for me, okay? Do we not work that way sometimes when we finally go to God? And we've got a timetable for Him. In fact, sometimes we take the solution to Him too, don't we? Lord, here's the thing. Now, here's what you need to do about it, and here I need to have it by this point. Thank you, Lord, for working this out for me. That's not really trusting God. Now, certainly, and we'll talk about this in a little bit, we are working. We're doing our best at what we're doing and trying to deal with our trials and our problems from day to day. But there is a trust and reliance upon Him that says, there is a timetable that God has that may not match mine. And tied to trust is this second element that I have here. What's the second main point here in the outline? Waiting. Waiting on the Lord. What a powerful theme that you find, especially in the Old Testament, in so many places, in the Psalms and in the prophets, as they talk about learning to wait on the Lord. And these passages are not passages that are talking about waiting in the sense of service, like a waiter waits upon you in a restaurant. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about waiting in terms of giving time to, stepping back and believing God will operate and carry out His part in dealing with my trials and my tribulations in this life to help me get through them. So it is a patience, a waiting, that in the biblical sense means I trust God and I must be patient for Him to work these things out, to help me get through these problems. That's a lot of what this is talking about when we look at this. So there is a biblical sense in which we must wait patiently upon God to do His work in helping us deal with our problems. In going through the transformation that perhaps the trial was meant to accomplish in my life, because a lot of times trials are brought into our life for that reason, to develop something in us. James?
Thank you.
Well, I think there's value in understanding that a lot of times God's solutions to problems are not ours. And I mean, there's a lot of truth in that, James, that like I said, when we've already made up our mind how a problem ought to be solved or a trial ought to be gotten through, and we're just waiting for God to do it my way, when things don't happen that way, that it may be God providentially is working in a way to provide a way through this that I do not yet understand. But I need to patiently wait to see that worked out. Like you say, it's going to be down the road before I understand it. And that's a trial for us. That's a real test. And it's a test for us in developing wisdom, spiritual wisdom and discernment to see the solution that really is best for dealing with my trial or my problem. And many times it is things that are specifically spelled out in Scripture that deal with that. Yes. I think there is a great example of what you're talking about in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, where the Apostle Paul was talking about the trial, the thorn in the flesh that he was having to deal with, and how he repeatedly went to God about it. Please remove this. Paul had the solution in mind here for God, I think. And God, remove this thorn in the flesh from me, whatever it was, a physical malady, a great test of his own faith or a trial in his work. We really don't know exactly what the thorn in the flesh was. But as you look there, look in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. As you look at him coming to understand God's solution to this trial or this thorn in the flesh for him, it certainly was not what he thought it ought to be in the beginning. Because what God made known to him was, he said to me, verse 9, 2 Corinthians 12, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. What Paul learned in the trial was this very important lesson about going through trials, is that it's only in that depth of hurt and sorrow that we come to realize, I can't deal with this alone. I need the Lord. And Paul came to understand that what God was saying to him, Paul, you have my grace. This will carry you through. And Paul began to understand that it was when that thorn pressed upon him the most, it's when he realized he needed the Lord the most. And it caused him to turn to God. So that he came to understand that God's power was greatest in his own time of weakness. And he began to trust God more fully in his trials, that God would sustain him. And so he says, I'll glory in my weaknesses. I'll glory in these trials that I go through, because when I'm weak, then am I strong. Why? Because I've learned to depend on God. I've learned to trust God during those times. Norm?
Yeah. I believe that is a thorn in Paul's
Well, that may be. That could be what the thorn in the flesh is there, is his conscience still bothering him about all those Christians that he had put to death and murdered, and dealing with that. That would be hard to deal with. But whatever it is, Paul came to realize how much he must trust God in the depth of trial and difficulty. We've got to put it in his hands. We have to sometimes reach a point in dealing with something in our life where we have to say, I don't know what to do, God. I have no idea how to handle this. I can't handle this, Lord. I put this in your hands, and I trust you to help me get through this. And I think sometimes we have to get to that point in our life. We have to hit that wall before we really learn to trust God, because so many of us will go through life thinking, I'll solve any problem I face. God's given me the ability to handle it. I'll deal with it. I'll figure it out. I'll get the solution. And sometimes we don't have it. And when we're of that mind and we finally run into a situation that we can't solve, we don't know how to handle, our faith gets weak because we think we fail. Doug? Yeah, Doug's making the point that a lot of times when we come to that point, it's a very humbling experience, that humility comes into our life, that we realize our own inability to do or to deal with, and we have to place our trust in God. And we go to him in prayer, and we place these things before him, and we ask his help, and we trust that he will help us deal with it. Now, our solution is to make it go away. God's solution may not be to make it go away. He didn't with Paul. His solution is to help us through it and help us come out on the other end a better person than we were when we started. Many times that's what it is. And we have to accept that. But that means waiting, folks. That means being patient. It means waiting on the Lord. Many passages. I think I gave some of you a couple of these. Psalm 27:14. Who has that one? Yeah, read Psalm 27:14. Okay, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Psalm 130, verses 5 and 6. Who has that? Okay, Morris. There are so many other passages that express this idea in the Psalms, in the prophets, of patiently waiting upon the Lord, of trusting him and giving him time to work in my life. Patience comes from someone who learns to wait on the Lord. He fully trusts God. He's taken his cares, his troubles, his trials to God. He fully trusts God to help him deal with it. And then he can wait. He can wait on the Lord. And believe that God will carry him through, give him the tools, whatever he needs to deal with this. He may remove the thorn. He may not. But the solution that he gives will be the one that is best for us. Because what he's trying to do with us is to mature us as Christians. To go through the trial, to face whatever we face, so that when we come out on the other end, we're better prepared for heaven. That's what he's trying to do with us. And we have to accept that. Yes, Brian? Oh, hadn't he? I mean, you do have to turn that around. You think about how God has patiently waited on us. And if he's done that with us, brethren, we need to learn to wait on him and to be patient with him in working through this. Psalm 40, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me, and he heard my cry. He had to wait, though. He had to wait on that. Psalm 27, the psalmist asks deliverance from his enemies and then waits on God to accomplish it. That's what he does. And just so many great examples of those who had to be patient in their life before they became what they, what God wanted them to be. Things that they had to endure. I give the two examples in the outline. I give the example of Joseph. The man who, a young man who goes through this incredible experience of having brothers who hate him so much that they sell him into slavery and then lie to their father, letting him think he's been killed. And he's carried off into slavery into Egypt, no doubt thinking he'll never see his family again, that he's lost to them forever, and all of that is past. And he has to just go through his life down there without ever seeing family again. And yet he continues to love God, to love the Lord through all of that. And then the experience in Potiphar's house of being so of being cast into prison after being lied about by Potiphar's wife, and all that he went through there, until finally God uses him as his tool to be the means by which the lineage of Abraham would be saved in time of great famine, because God raised him up to that position of authority there by giving him those divine revelations through those visions about the coming famine, and Pharaoh raising him to that position of prominence. Do you think that that's what, that Joseph had any idea that this is what God was going to do with him? None whatsoever. You think he's sitting in prison and saying, well, I can't wait till God gets me out of here and puts me in this great position. He had no idea this was going to happen. But he continued to serve God and to be patient in being the Lord's man until finally he ends up being placed in a position by God that he is able then to bring his family down and spare them through these great years of famine. And of course then God brings them, causes them to become the great nation they did while living in Egypt. But he had to be patient through all that. Patiently trust God that all this was working out, even in the depths of prison. How old was Moses when he started to lead Israel? 80 years old. Most of us ready to hang it up by then, aren't we? God prepared him in a most remarkable way. 40 years being raised in the house of Pharaoh with the best education, the best teaching that could be provided probably on earth at that time. Coming to have an understanding of Egypt and all its people, its rulers, and all of that. Then he spends 40 years in the very wilderness where he's going to lead these people. And then after 40 years of that, 80 years in all, God calls him and says, okay, you're ready. I need you to lead the people out of Israel, out of Egypt. And he is uniquely qualified now to do what God wanted him to do at age 80. Remarkable story. Moses had to remain faithful through all that time. You think about a man raised as Pharaoh's son, having all the education and the skills and everything that he had, living out in the wilderness, shepherding flocks. Maybe sitting out there and thinking to himself, you know, what a waste of my life. But no, he was patient and waiting and continuing to serve God, not deserting his Lord through all of this, doing what he was able to do until God used him in this remarkable way. Patience, waiting on God. Well, I make the point that waiting and trusting go hand in hand. Psalm 27 is entitled A Psalm of Fearless Trust in God, but it ends with the statement, wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. That's what we see. Psalm 37, who has those three verses in there? Psalm 37, verses 3, 9, and 34.
Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land, feed on his faithfulness.
Okay, and then verse 9. Do you have verse 9 too?
For evil doers shall be cut off.
Oh, I didn't.
Okay,
who has verse 34? Anybody have verse 34?
Right. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you shall see.
Okay, trust and wait, trust and wait. I'm sorry, I didn't realize I gave those to three different people. But that's a psalm that ties those two together. And it should be very clear, we cannot wait if we do not trust. We will not learn patience if we don't fully trust God that He is in my life and that He cares about me and that His providential hand is at work and that He will fulfill His promises to me. Now, if I believe that with my whole heart, I can endure. I can go through whatever I have to go through. And no, God is not through with me. There are things that He's still going to use me to do. And that's what we have to do. Well, in doing that, when I talk about trusting Him and waiting on the Lord, does that mean that during these trials or whatever we're facing, that we're just sitting back and doing nothing? It's trusting, waiting, but God's servants are always working. We are diligently seeking God. We are trying to do His will to the best of my ability. I'm trying to work my way through whatever circumstances and situations I face. I'm not just sitting back and folding my arms, whatever I'm facing, say, okay, God, it's all up to you. Let me watch and see what you do. We continue to work. We continue to do the best we can in service to Him, believing that God will guide through His Word and teach me, and that if necessary, He will providentially intervene into my life to open the doors to the way that I need to go. That's trusting God. There's part of that. If God is not providentially working in our life today, then I'm not sure why we pray to Him. I mean, we can ask forgiveness of our sins, but if we're praying to Him about to help me live a faithful life, help me in raising my children, help me in all these other things that I may ask, if we think that that's just an exercise in self-motivation, no, we believe that God continues to work. We may not be able to point at a specific incident and say, I know God did that, but we may be able to look back at our life like Joseph did after all that had happened to him and say to his brothers, I know what you did, you meant for evil, but God meant it for good. And he could look back and see that whole picture and appreciate that. So we end up going through all kinds of trials that at the time we may not understand, but it may be that later when we look back, we can see the benefit of that trial if I trusted God through it. And I was patient. If we learn trusting and waiting while we continue to work, then we learn patient endurance. Be patient. The Lord is at hand. That's what James said. And we just got to have that. We got to be patient. And sometimes it'll be amazing to see where our life ends up going in service to God. We've got to believe that. Okay, well, I got done pretty much with that. I appreciate your thoughts and your comments on this. To think this through and about the importance of being patient and enduring in our faithful service to God. Integral parts. Thank you for your comments.